Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We've been the voice of the fan for over 25 years. We couldn't have done it without you, the Score listener. Thank you for 25 great years. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Score! Scoreboard update.
Well, in choosing an update, Terry, for this occasion, I thought, you can't just do any update, so I take you back to the summer of 2006. The Detroit Lions have suspended defensive line coach Joe Cullen after he was arrested and charged with indecent and obscene conduct. A worker at a Dearborn Wendy's drive-thru window saw him naked behind the wheel of his SUV and called police. Restaurant manager Jethro Lett says he was frustrated with the response of police, accusing them of not taking his complaint seriously. All they kept saying is, did he say anything? Did he do anything? He said he didn't have to say anything. He's butt naked. Several Lions players said they found out about the incident by listening to sports talk radio. So once again, the importance of sports talk radio in vital news and the life of Americans is proved, as you have over the last 25 years. And then two quick things, Terry, I wanted to just mention. I think being on the show with you and Dan is the most fun that I've ever, just sheer fun that I've ever had in radio, and I've had a lot of radio jobs, but there is no doubt that we had some great times.
Yeah, we did. I appreciate your sense of humor and who you are. I mean, we've had to carve up some update guys just to get them to have some fun. We never had to worry about you.
Well, secondly, too, I've spent a lot of time with you as a listener and also as a co-worker, and something that really stands out. Well, there was that time we were at the drive-thru with no pants on.
Yeah,
that, well,
that's right.
That, but the other time was completely non-related to work. I was in the greater Palos area, Palos Hills, Palos Heights, Palos, whatever it is. I can never get that right. But I was there to see my son, my 10-year-old son, play basketball. You were there to see your grandson with your son who was coaching him to play a game.
There they are.
There we go. So I walk in the gym, and I see this hulk of a good-looking big man. And then right after that, you walked in. And we sat there during that game for an hour and watched that game. And we just talked about sports, family,
right,
reffing, life, and everything. And I'll have to say, out of all the times on the air, that hour that we spent watching that game was my most enjoyable time, and I think about it all the time. That was a great moment. I will always treasure not only the work memory, but that little bit of time. I lucked out. It was just complete coincidence to walk in there and see you. And I just wanted to say that, yes, you make funny noises, and yes, you're a little bit insane. But most of all, that discussion and seeing everything here today just reminds me of just what a great heart you have. And I just want to say it's been my honor and privilege to work with you for all those years. And when they gave me an opportunity to do this, I was flattered and touched. And I just want to say best luck in your retirement. And you've earned that. And enjoy your family. And I know that that's very important to you. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Thank you, Joe. Very kind. Joe Bartosz.
Toast to Terry Bors.
Hey, buddy.
On 670 The Score.
Baseball home run champ Barry Bonds indicted on perjury and obstruction of justice charges.
Yes! God, you made my day, King.
You're listening to A Toast to Terry right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. As Chicago Radio bids farewell to a Chicago radio icon, Terry Bors. 25 years on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Back to you, Terry Bors.
And at 3:06, thank you, Matt, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, I bring in one of my favorite guys in the city, a guy who knows his stuff. He's also, boy, he's acquiring rings like crazy. He's got things, and I also saw what the Blackhawks gave me, which is just unbelievable. And a jersey autographed by every Blackhawk.
Those are actually the Rockford IceHogs. So.
Okay. All right. No, I don't blame them. And a lovely picture as well that I will cherish and put on the wall. John McDonough has joined me, and a guy who's good at everything he's ever done. And it's a pleasure to see him, as it always is. And I thank you for those gifts. Those are very kind.
You're welcome, Terry. Today's your day, and it's a great celebration. We're going to miss you. I mean, you've been part of history, and we recognize that. We've all tuned in. Some of us have been on the dark side of that show.
I know.
From time to time.
Sure. Yeah. Not for me, though. Could be somebody else, but yeah. Well, it isn't fair unless we put you on the dark side a little bit, because, I mean, you can't just be as good as you are at what you do. It's just not fair. We have to find something to say bad about you occasionally. You have to
Absolutely. I remember the time when we made some changes in the Blackhawks front office. This is probably going back to 08, 09. And I remember my two boys calling me from college. And they said, Dad, do you listen to the Score a lot? I said, yeah, you know, I do. I listen all the time. They said, do us a favor. Don't listen this afternoon. Don't listen today. Probably not a good time. But you provided a lot of entertainment, a lot of laughs, a lot of insight, great respect for you, and a terrific run. I mean, a terrific run. We go back to your Sun Times days and, you know, my time with the Cubs and now with the Blackhawks, and a lot of loyal listeners, and what a legendary career.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know that that's true, but I will accept that. I think there's a, there's a lot of people in the city that are legends and so forth, and you're one of them. No, I'm not one of them. There's a lot of guys. There's one sitting right there that's a radio legend. That's a radio legend right there.
I know it is. I know.
That is a radio legend.
Actually, I went to grammar school and high school. Who had the "we're happy for you"?
Danny and I did. Okay. We're happy for you.
I went to
you,
grammar school and high school with Marty Leonard's, period. Nobody cares.
Nobody
cares.
That's not true. Anyway, are you still enjoying the Blackhawks? Everything is still good?
Yeah, we're doing fine. You know, we're doing fine. I think we've got a few more levels to go, but for us to be first in the Western Conference right now, we're doing fine. But today, Terry, don't spin this.
Okay.
Today
I just wondering if everything's good.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Okay.
I think they sent some of the staff out here to kind of survey what a retirement party would look like, so I'm not sure what indication that would be, but... I'm a few years younger than you. I'm 63.
I'm 3 years older. Okay. I look 10 years older.
Okay.
So
you don't. You look great.
Yes, you do.
You have that
vibrant young look to you.
Mm, wow.
The Blackhawks aren't wearing you down.
Wow. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Because every sports team wears you down sometime. But anyway, I appreciate the kind words, and the gifts are very, very nice. That's really nice. And I have plenty of room. I'm going to do these things in sort of reverse. I want to put my office together a little bit better, and I've got some help there. And I'm going to do it after. That's a beautiful thing. Look at that.
Some people would tell you I took that photo. See,
that's beautiful.
To see the Mount Rushmore of the Score that were up here before, just rekindling my relationship with Mike North from years ago. Mike and I had some battles on air. So Mike would get me on the air. So we're from the same area. So Mike would get me on the air, and if I either wouldn't cooperate with him or I wouldn't give him the answer that he wanted, he would say, here's a guy from the neighborhood who forgot where he came from. Yes or no?
Yeah,
Mike, is that true or not? If I didn't give him the right answer, that's what he would say.
I remember
you
those.
You try to be nice to everybody, but it was hard.
I remember those. And look who's sitting behind you. The true radio legend, Lynn Brandt.
Oh, it is
joining us from XRT.
How are you?
John McDonough. You know, it's... Seeing the entire...
Now I'm humbled between Terry and
Well, I was
Mr.
just
going
to say, seeing, you know, Jiggets and North and Hanley up here, that whole crew, and then John McDonough, formerly of the Cubs, now the Blackhawks, I feel a little bit like being at Woodstock and the Who coming off stage and people saying, ladies and gentlemen, John Sebastian. Well, they had to have an emissary from WXRT because very few people outside of the station understand the Brady Bunch situation that occurred in this little bomb shelter on West Belmont Avenue when all of a sudden We had it, you know, there we were all by ourselves, and all of a sudden, you get this motley crew in here, and it's jam-packed. And, of course, XRT, you mentioned Marty Leonard, who you went to school with. Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest Cubs fan in Chicago. Marty Leonard, he's like the Rain Man of Cubs. He goes, 1969, definitely Willie Davis. Definitely extra innings, victory opening day. He knows everything. And and XRT was filled with sports fans. My boss, Norm Weiner, incredible sports fan. And, you know, at the same time, there's this influx of new people and it's getting crowded. We're also a little starstruck because, you know, Norm and I and Seth Mason, who we've talked about, mm-hmm. and Harvey Wells, we used to go to this hot dog stand on North Milwaukee Avenue in the late 80s. And the problem, my doctor thought, was I went there too much. I don't know. It's a 320 cholesterol high because I'd go there and Mike North and BB would be there and B's mother Grace would be in the back making the Italian beef and the cops would come in and the neighborhood guys would come in and Mike would give free hot dogs to the Schurz basketball team if they won. So here's this guy we know. He's fun to hang out with. And then a couple months after he's running the hot dog stand, he's giving Jim Brown crap on the air at the Score.
I remember.
But it was a great relationship. You know, WXRT, whenever anybody on the Score needed some music, they'd send some intern running over there saying, hey, we need such and such. I remember one day an intern rushed over and said, do you have Rick Derringer, Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo? And, you know, you roll your eyes, you go, yeah, we have Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. But we don't have it on CD. We just have it on vinyl. Okay. And they run back with it and they say to the Score host at the time, I can't find Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. And the Score host turns it over and goes, yeah, it's right here. And the intern goes, you mean they have music on both sides?
I hear you.
Yeah. Now, Terry, actually, I don't know if you remember this, you filled in and did some sports segments with me.
Mm-hmm.
In 2003, when the Cubs, you probably remember 2003, the Cubs went to the World Series, won it all. At least that's how I have it in my memory. Well, seriously, after
John knows too. He's got that memory.
I remember that.
You remember that, how they just plowed through the Marlins and it was all good. After Game 6, we'd been talking on the mm-hmm. air. It was yes. doing a sports segment for a long time. Bob Verde did it on the air. And now Bob works with you guys at the Blackhawks, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, that's great.
So Terry's on the air, and I just remember vividly this conversation after Game 6. You know, the world is smoldering. It hasn't come to an end, but it's smoldering. And the first thing Terry says to me on the air is, uh-oh. I know what uh-oh sounds like. And it was really the uh-oh heard around the world as a Game 6 devolved into Game 7. But the other thing I remember about that was there was some discussion, you know, do you want to have Terry or we can have Dan come in? And I said, I don't want to talk to Dan because we're too much alike, you know? We're both these egg-headed literary reference bone brains. I want to talk to Bors. I need some yin with my yang on the radio. But it was a very special time there on Belmont Avenue. And seeing all the people that have come back and who are still here reminds me really from the bottom of my heart why I came down here today. And that was for the barbecue. I love a free meal. I love it if it's barbecue even better. But, you know, in those small, tiny halls all those years, you know, I started the morning show 25 years ago, December 30th, and there were Score guys milling. Tom Scher was milling around. Go, no, we're going to go on the air really soon, and it was postponed day after day after day. And I feel like we both started kind of the meaningful part of our careers at exactly the same time. And Terry's always been my baseball whisperer in a sports station filled with White Sox fans over the years. I could always find Terry, and he would understand me. You know,
I do. Yeah.
He would sit me down and go, Lynn, it's going to be okay. Not today. Maybe not next year. Maybe not in 5 years. But it's going to be okay. And it's really been okay knowing you all these years. And happy to represent WXRT and everybody there who has really grown and enjoyed this long-standing relationship with the Score over the years.
Well, I thank you. That Ren Brammer, that's a true radio legend. And John McDonough, just a sports legend in this town with the Cubs and the Blackhawks, the championship Blackhawks. We need to take a break, and you guys are terrific. I appreciate the gifts. Thank you very much for
thank
the
you, Terry.
I forgot my gift.
You are the true. No, you are the true radio icon. And when you talk about the Cubs on this station, don't forget Lynn Bramer's role in this. Don't forget that. Don't forget what Lynn Bramer did.
They can't forget. They were never told.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
You're listening to a Toast to Terry right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Follow along on Twitter at hashtag Toast to Terry. Coming up after a brief break, we're going to visit with our guy, George Offman. Also, some of Terry's newspaper buddies, Fred Mitchell, Moon Mullen, coming up in the 3 o'clock hour as well. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I've been to Hollywood, I've been to Redwood, I'd cross the ocean for a heart of gold. I've been in my mind, it's such a fine line that keeps me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Time for another classic 670 flashback.
Yes, I've got my Sammy Sosa chubby going. 2-0 Cubs in the bottom of the fourth. And it's Sosa's home run, a towering line drive in the first inning. A controversial shot. Third base umpire immediately pointed fair. And that's the
George,
only run
which
the
was
game.
It? Wait a minute. Hold
was
on
it
to yourself.
Towering or was it a line drive?
Get some both. Coffee and a towering line drive. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, oh, yes, you can.
No, you can't. You can't have it both ways.
Gentlemen, it was a towering line drive.
George, it's either a line drive or it's a towering home.
Gentlemen, I'll repeat myself. It was a towering line drive.
Come out there.
Come on out here.
Bank your little hiney.
I didn't deserve that.
I'll give it by Ryan.
You ask North and Jiggets and even Arnie Harris, who was on, it was a towering line drive.
You are listening to a Toast to Terry. Follow along on Twitter at hashtag Toast to Terry right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Listen at 670thescore.com and stream live video on The Score's Facebook page. And today's Toast to Terry is presented in part by your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, home of America's best warranty. Terry, back to you.
Thank you, Maddie. And as always, right now, the towering line drive has arrived. George Offman, who has provided endless sound bites for us. No matter what show I was on, we had endless sound bites of George, and that's why we love him. Hello, George.
I only have one thing to say. What about the pitching?
Towering line drive.
That was May of 1994. 2 years into it, and it's to this day, Facebook and Twitter, I still have people saying it's a towering line drive. It's great. It's 22, 23 years later, and people still remember it. One of my great hallmark moments of many on this radio station. It's good to see you, Terry. It's you great know, to yeah. be here seeing Pappy and Jigs and everybody that was with the Originals. It's just fabulous. Show sounds great.
The Originals are indeed here. And then you see my older family now. My youngest are 33 years old now, so you can forget that.
Last time I saw them, they were skinny and 14 at Boar's Fork. Remember that?
I do remember that. One thing about George is that George has been a great sport over the years because we have endlessly made fun of him. And I think that's the beauty of it is that George doesn't take it personally. And, I mean, to me it's an honor to be quote of the year. That's an honor.
But back-to-back years? With the same quote? Come up with something different, would you please? We've heard enough of that one.
I don't think it's possible to hear enough of it.
Skip Carey, whose pappy was the legendary Harry and whose son is Skip, died in his sleep last night. Make that his son Chip.
That's what you call a read right there. That's putting it together.
All I can tell you is everybody's dead now.
I think you killed
Among
everybody.
Among yesterday's attendees at the wake, all the children of Johnny Red Kerr, who will be buried on Thursday.
I don't remember that. That's a good one. I remember the
endless.
The difficulty in the early days for me was I was the lone reporter out in the field. So you had the producers, Jesse and Judd and whoever else was producing the shows. But I had to go out spring training right after the first. We were out there a couple of months later in spring training. I've got this gigantic cell phone. It's bigger than me. Remember those things?
I do.
Now I'm supposed to get people on the air. Well, Andre Dawson said, I'm not going on that show. Ryan Sandberg, there's no chance. Nobody wanted to come on. They were getting information back of what was being said. There's a couple of stories. I remember in 1993, Pappy, this is great. So this is Cleveland right before the White Sox are going to go to the playoffs to face Toronto. And backroom office, here's Sleepy Gene Lamont. Sleepy Gene Lamont. And he just tears into Pappy like, you know what? I mean, more invectives than Lee Elia. And I'm thinking, really? Gene, you? So this is what you were dealing with in the field. I was dealing with the backlash. Steve Stone. This is, I don't know, 94, 95. I forget. It was an owner's meeting. And Steve's out at the hotel and said, Steve, can you come on? I forget whose show. And he said, I wouldn't come on any of those shows for all the money in China. In the meantime, they paid him all the money in China, and he's on the show.
He's on the show.
That's exactly right. It's fabulous.
Exactly what happened. That is correct.
Yeah, that was the difficulty in the early going. Then, I remember this, we were first year Stanley Cup Finals. So we're in Pittsburgh, and by the way, it's interesting to note, yes, there was a rookie on that team named Jaromir Jagr who's still playing. So now I'm on the phone, I'm on hold for Murph's show because it's late May. Right? I think the Stanley Cups then were late May, early June. I forget what it was. And so I'm sitting in the stands. The phone is underneath. I'm on hold with Murph. I'm going to go on. It's like 7 o'clock. Now, you can barely hear. I'm on hold for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Now 7:30. I'm still not on the air. I hung up. It's like, forget this. That was my one little thing with Murph. As if there weren't many of them with him. I've heard the show. It's been quite interesting. Where's Dan McNeil? Is he still here? We can bring Dan back up for some more Murph stories. I loved it. For me, the hallmark moment with you was the O.J. Simpson trial. It's the best radio I've ever heard. You stood up to everyone, all comers. Didn't matter. You know, they were saying one thing and you said the other. They would scream at you. You'd scream back at them. It was the best radio I ever heard. But for me... And you remember this because you could push my buttons.
No.
This guy's sense of humor is unbelievable. He would make me laugh to the point where I couldn't talk. I'm just sitting there. I'm in tears. Terry, don't. He knew the buttons to press. I think Gleason summed it up great early in the show when he said that you have a great sense of humor, but when it comes to the serious stuff, you're as good as anyone. You are as good as anyone. With all due respect to the talk show hosts that are in here today and the other guys that are doing this for a business, you are absolutely the best talk show host in the history of the city.
And that includes
the chat champ, Dave Blum. You could handle it. Look, from the O.J. Simpson trial to 9/11, you stood the test of everything that was put in front of you. You did it with aplomb. You did it with a great sense of humor. You're terrific. So come back. Well, shouldn't we just chant, don't retire Terry. Don't retire Terry.
No, Terry's retiring.
Oh, so, Terry's retiring. It's done.
I'm leaving with Moon and Fred. They've come to pick me up. They're taking me with, because Fred's already retired, so I'm just waiting for them.
Well, so it's been my pleasure to be part of it for 17-plus years with you. It's been great. And now I'm still working for Gleason. What am I going to do?
I was thinking the same thing.
By the way, how's your native country treating you? Brazil, remember?
I do, yeah.
Seriously,
well,
how are they?
I have a Brazilian, yeah. It's fine. Thank you. You know, I like I said, the thing about George is that with all the stuff you hear, and we played it, and he's won quarter of the year and everything else, that George has always been a great sport about it, because not everybody is. Not everybody is a great
Mike
sport.
Mike Lamb will play at first base.
All I know is that when Schuster was on, I want to pay homage with you. Does that come with hummus?
Yes, I think it does with Schuster, okay. Yeah, for sure. But anyway, I thank you for being such a great sport over the years about all this stuff because, you know, you were a fun target, and you were a fun target because you're a terrific guy. So, I mean, that makes it better. And those quotes are still priceless. They will always be priceless for this station.
I could be making quote of the year again next year. Hey,
Dan saying yes.
My pleasure. I've known you for a long, long time.
Yes,
long
we go way, way back.
And it's been a pleasure working with you. And I'm sorry this day had to come, 25 years, and you're retiring, but you had a wonderful career. And at least come back once a month for a segment. Come back. You know, what were they paying? $6 million a year to do this?
Yes, about $6 million a year, yeah.
That's okay. It's less for CBS now.
It's okay. It's all right. Oh, George, I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you for all your contributes over the years as well. You're the best, my friend. And right now, sitting next to a guy, you've probably seen these guys before, Moon Mullen. And my guy Fred Mitchell, also retired, right? Am I right about this, Fred?
Semi.
How is it? Am I making a mistake, or is it okay?
Well, you know, there's certain things you miss and certain things you don't miss. I miss a lot of the camaraderie and the give and take and the press box and the complaining that we all do, right, constantly.
Yes.
But some of the late night deadlines, I don't miss that at all.
Moon, what do you think? You're still very active, but you're a little man like I am.
We'll see. And, you know, it's interesting. When Maddie called me about or emailed me about this, I realized that 92 was my first year on the Bears. That's when this started for me, mm-hmm. and this may have been my last year because we're not sure about contract situation. So we may be leaving at the same time. I'll be over there with Fred.
Terry, we go way back.
Yeah. We go way back to the 70s.
Yes, I was thinking about that earlier. You were at the Chicago Heights Star
yep.
Tribune.
Yeah, Star Tribune.
And Johnny Meyer, the legendary Johnny Myers.
Best teacher I ever had.
Yeah, and I was doing some freelancing
at
that time. And then, of course, we got to cover the Bulls together in the early 80s. And I've been able to follow your career, obviously. And, you know, you can maintain a friendship. Guys can anyway, it seems like, without seeing each other on a regular basis. You know what the guy is all about, and you see what they're doing, what he's saying. So when I listened to your shows throughout the decades, I brought back great memories, and I'm very happy to see you be so successful.
You know, Fred, though, we need to tell him how much trouble he got us in once, remember?
I do.
Yeah, Terry and Mac took us out to dinner one year. Remember, over at one of the Chop House somewhere,
mm-hmm.
he killed the fat
yep.
calf. And it was me and Fred, me and Rosie, I think.
I think so, yeah.
And we got a piece of hate mail from the sports editor after that, first of all, we shouldn't take things like that. Second, he was mad that you called me Moon. I thought that was very unprofessional. And I think he was just mad he didn't get invited.
Right.
That was probably it. But, you know, and we also, I think Terry should also know what part you and I may have had in kind of launching, metaphorically here, Who Are You Crapping? Which you became a big part of. Because if you all remember back in 92, the blow up in Minnesota with the audible with Jim Harbaugh, and you know Ditka was rumbling, and you know Mount Koch was natives were going in the ocean, and you know it quieted down for a little while, but there was the off week came after that, and so Ditka didn't have to answer any more questions, and then I think another week went by with whatever, no access. So now we're back getting into the rhythm, and there's a Monday press conference, and the first question is about the audible, and we can see Ditka starting to rumble again. And I think the line was, you know, all right, you know, I've called 400 plays this year, and the only one you sons of bitches want to talk about is that one. And with that, and then remember Phil Theobald from Peoria stood up and walked out in a huff and said, well, Coach, Bobby Knight called me a son of a bitch, and I said I'd never be called that again, so I'm leaving. But Ditka, I'm thinking, my God, this is either The Exorcist or you know, The Green Mile, and insects are going to start flying out of his mouth or something like that. But that. So, and it was right after that, he never met with us again. He would only do his show with you.
Yeah.
And I think we got
it. Oh, that went well. We're like, that. Yeah. Oh, my God. Can you imagine somebody telling me I have to host a Mike Ditka show?
Oh,
Fred, think about this. Yes.
But
this
you were the one that got people like, remember Neil from Northlake?
Oh, yeah.
My name is
Stir him up. Yeah.
Yeah, you called in and Raymond Ditka, and he said, well, my name is Mike Ditka. My office is at 250 Washington, and I'll come up here and whip your ass. Terry knew good radio back then.
Yeah. You know, I got to see Terry's preparation for radio. During his infancy in the newspaper business, and how he operated, and how he, you know, started out interviews and really, you know, did them very casually with athletes and coaches, and didn't take anything very seriously. If I might,
hey, that's true,
right?
And that's true.
You and I would, when we were covering the Bulls together, we'd go in and talk to Rod Thorne, who was the general manager at that time.
We'll say Fred.
Hi, Fred. Terry.
Yeah. Back in the hotel.
Yeah. So we had a lot of fun there. I remember Terry always saying, you know, I'm too good for this. I'm too good for this. And sure enough, he was.
I don't know that that's true, but I yeah, you know, and every year I covered the Bulls 3 years, and every year there's a different guy.
Yeah,
I wanted Fred again. I didn't get Fred again.
I went off.
I got Bob Sakamoto.
Yeah.
Oh, for the love of God! Good God Almighty! Yeah. Guard your children. Yeah. And then Bob Logan, I believe, Lefty.
Lefty Logan, right.
Lefty Logan, who, you know, there wasn't a press room. He wouldn't stick a bottle of booze in his pocket.
I think he had the greatest collection of velour shirts in captivity, too, I think. Blue, purple.
Yeah, I mean.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, it changed just as much as the coaches of the Bulls, right, in that period of time. It was Jerry Sloan the first year. Then it was Rod Thorne finished out a season after he was fired.
Paul Westhead, another great one. Remember, he banned me because I was late for practice. He said, "You're tardy for practice. I'm not going to let you in."
Yeah.
I said, "Okay, I don't care. That's fine. That's a pleasure." Because back then, you could actually watch the Bulls practice.
Yeah. Yes, you know, at Angel Guardian Gym.
Angel
right?
Guardian.
Yep. It was such a relaxed atmosphere. I remember, the Celtics would have a shoot-around. For instance, at Angel Guardian, and we would be allowed to interview mm-hmm. Larry Bird and Parrish on their way, walking to the bus, and anything else you need. You know, nobody interrupting us. It was much different atmosphere, wasn't it? Just like
Bears today.
Yeah, right.
Oh, the Bears today. Oh, my God. Moon. I don't envy any of that. But, yeah, there was a, you know, covering the Bulls and just learning about people. Mm-hmm. Was really what it was, and Fred was terrific. Fred's a great travel. You know, if you're going to travel, you might as well travel with Fred. I'll tell you that right now. This guy, he knows how to have a good time.
Fred would take a trip if he was afraid his premier exec status was going to be over. Fred would fly somewhere on New Year's Eve and back just to get the necessary miles. That's a true fact. True fact. That's a dedicated man.
How'd they find me? Yeah. That's another story.
Another story for another time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I appreciate you two guys. I mean, I have over the years, and you know, I've been proud to call both of you friends. And you too, George, even though we're not going to talk to you anymore, and we don't, you dumbass. But I think there's a you know, a certain bond, and I still feel in my heart, somebody asked me the other day, and I still feel more like a writer than doing this. And, you know, I still feel that more than anything else. And I think it's because I've started to write more again, and it just... There's something so satisfying about it that I can't. It's hard to describe. And Fred, you're the author of many books, so you know what I'm talking about when you sit down and you just start writing and how good it feels. And Moon, you know what you know what it's like. So I think in my heart of hearts, you know, I never say, "Well, talk show host, it's a talk show." No, not really.
But you know, I think Terry, what you did was, I think you bridged that gap. I think you and Brian Hanley were, you know, again, writers who made the jump. But I also think that it was very interesting. Somebody was talking about this earlier, the antipathy, the antagonism between writers who didn't like this new electronic stuff. And early on, I realized, in fact, you were incredibly helpful to me because I was at the Herald. We were the third paper in the market. But I learned early on that if you had anything, the sports talk would talk about it. Mm-hmm. So rather than write about what sports radio talked about, be what they talk about. And Terry and Mac were the kind of guys who took to other writers. So if you broke something, they wanted to have you on the air and talk about it. And I think that was a huge help to a lot of us. I don't think a lot of writers realize that. But we're all in the entertainment business, and there was a synergy. You know, now you see it, people mad at the internet. Well, that was kind of talk radio back then. If you didn't realize that this is a great asset, then you're stupid.
Yeah, I think there was a great relationship created between sports talk radio and the newspaper business. We provided a lot of the content, a lot of the controversy, right?
It
provided you something to talk about. Hey, look what so-and-so wrote today. What do you think about it? And you got a lot of feedback that way, so it worked in everybody's favor.
All right, I really appreciate you guys coming by. Remember, Fred, we survived Quentin Daly.
That's right. Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Boy, that was a handful right there. That's a something. All right. Yeah. Anyway, Fred Mitchell.
Never quit writing, buddy. Never quit writing.
Yeah, that's right.
I won't.
Whatever you're doing.
I won't.
Congratulations, Terry.
All right. Thank you guys so much. And George, love you, man. And now I bring in one of my favorite guys. Somebody say, this is actually young. Or at least,
No.
Not that
young. Thank you very much. Was that Baldy McPherson? What was that?
McGrindy.
Let's go to, okay, enough of the Gillette. Lose it.
Oh, that was the essence back then. For those of you listening or here that don't know, my name is Brendan McCaffrey. I'm the sports director at The Score. And worked with Terry now just over 9 years. I started as your intern on January 3rd, 2008. And today's January 5th, I believe, 2017. But my memories with you actually go back before that. And I used to listen to you and Bernstein in my dad's truck. And then it would be North and Buffon, the wise guys after you guys. So this is when you're on middays. And the weird part about my family is my dad's from Ireland. My mother, who is in the audience today, this is the Score, like, day one listener, 25 years, loves Terry, you know, wants to be here, all that. And I'm putting my Irish father straight off the boat, putting him through listening to you guys every day, and it was just great. And, you know, I can't say it on the air. I'm not going to get into some of the language that some of our day oneers used here earlier, which we had to, you know, the dump button needed a nice workout to start an hour ago. But my dad said something to the effect of, you know, with his brogue, he goes, "Ah, Jesus, you're listening to these bastards," and I would keep that thing on every time, that was my indoctrination into the Score, and I wanted to be a part of the station, and I was able to do that, and I would come out to you guys on the Bud Light Who Needs Two Tavern Tour. I was your on-site producer for a long time, a couple years. And I've gotten to work with you for the last, like I said, 9 years. Mm-hmm. And just the opportunity, Terry, especially when you'd come into the office on Mondays. And you'd come, you'd sit into my office, and we'd just BS the whole time. We'd talk about whatever, and whether it's the business. And one thing that I always appreciate about you was how honest you were and how we could just, you know, shoot the bull for a while and just have a great time, and it was awesome. And you kind of are like everyone's radio dad for all the younger guys, for a generation of everybody. Whether that's good or bad, that's
what
it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure that.
And believe me, there are a generation of young guys that are here that really admire you, admire the work you do. And if there's someone to aspire to be like a host, you know, I think you're the perfect guy with your work ethic, what you've done in your career, and you're funny. You know, that's the thing. Like, so many of the hosts we have, and I shouldn't say not just us, but in general, can we have a laugh? You know, not everything has to be, you know, what is it? What's the famous malaprop? Rocket surgery? Nothing has to be like that. Like, we can have a little more fun sometimes. And that's what you always brought to the table, I thought. And I'll miss the quips you have. I will miss our chats on Monday in my office. And we will get together for football.
Yes, we will.
Because I know
it's all set up for you.
It's the only way you're going to watch football is if a bunch
of
us
correct.
Take our asses down there and watch it with you.
That is correct. So, I'm bringing your asses down there to watch football, yes.
So I appreciate it. I wish you the best of luck, best of health and everything. And I've met three of your four sons. I'll meet the other one before I'm out of here. And they're great. I love them. Your family's awesome. And hopefully we can throw some drinks back later. If not, who knows? We'll find out. Otherwise, we'll do it for football next year.
You got
it. So, Terry, thank you.
All right. Brendan McCaffrey, really a terrific guy and a guy who knows how to do everything. If you have a problem, you can't do something, you go see Brendan. It's taken care of right damn now. Just a terrific guy. And look, now, everybody says, you know, I hate Terry Bors. I really don't like him. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I live with that. I live with that at home. But here's the thing. There had to be somebody along the way who hired me to do radio. I mean, I'd done some stuff for free and just kind of learning the trade as best I could. Because I thought, well, this newspaper thing may not go all the way. I may need to do something else. But this man right here, Seth Mason, is the man who hired me. Now, why he hired me, I'll never know. But I know that others have an unkind word for him. I do not have an unkind word for him. I respect him immensely. And I think that he's been retired for a while too, right, Seth? You've sort of been just enjoying life coaching soccer.
Yeah, I've been growing grapes and coaching soccer.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what the Score has done. But anyway, I guess the question would be, why did you hire me? Because if anybody wonders what the hell started this, Seth Mason started this.
I'm glad you asked that question because early on in the fall of 91 – when we were contemplating the staff, we wanted a combination of radio guys, of former athletes, and we wanted some newspaper guys. But specifically, we went around and I kept asking this question of so many people. I said, when you guys are in the press box, who makes you laugh? And Terry Bors and Brian Hanley's name kept coming up over and over again. I said, okay, then let's find those guys. And I went out and
found them.
And we found them. Of course, we almost lost you, though, too.
Do you remember? You remember the day? I think it was the day you hired me, or maybe you were thinking about it. I went out. I had parked on the lot across the street, and I got locked in there. Remember, I didn't have a control. I just thought it was a great damn parking lot, so I parked in there, and then I can't get out of there. So I had to come back in and get Seth and said, "Seth, I think I shouldn't be parked here, but can you open this gate?" You remember that? I was like, "What a dumbass! What a complete idiot I am!" But I looked and I said, "Uh-oh, I can't open that gate. I'll have to go back in and see Seth," because I thought, man, that's great. You got this little parking lot here. The gate was open. I swung in, and I go in, and I thought, man, and I had a great interview, I thought. I thought that you were certainly an interesting guy who, you know, I've had some great interviews over the years with newspaper guys that are just strange and odd. But your interview, I remember. I remember it very, very well, and it was very thorough and very good. And some newspaper guys just go out of their way to be weird. I mean, I've had some that I don't know what the hell they were talking about after 10 minutes, but you, I understood exactly what you were saying, and I just wanted to thank you for giving me the chance you gave me. And you looked at this station, and a lot of guys were getting that first chance. So you, sir, did a hell of a job.
Oh, well, thanks. But all we did was put you guys in the studio, and then on January 2nd, when we went live, you guys took the ball and ran with it. But I want to tell one story about Terry. I think it was maybe a month or 6 weeks in. It was before we had the whole ratings, you know, how come we have no ratings?
How come we have no ratings? Yeah, that's a good question.
And I know you guys have covered that already. Yeah. But Terry came into my office, and he closed the door, and he said, "I can't do this." And I said, "What do you mean? You're doing fine." And he said, no, I can't do it. You have to understand something. He said, when I would write something for the newspaper, I would type it out there, and then I would edit it, and then I would look at it again, and then I would make sure it was exactly what I wanted, and then I hit the button. He said, with radio, he said, stuff's coming out of my mouth, it's going into that microphone, and I can't get it back.
That's true.
And I said, I can understand that from a perspective of a writer. I said, but radio works a little differently. I said, not everything you're going to say for 4 hours is going to be perfect and exactly what you wanted to say. But in the end, what you will say will work.
No, you talked me off the ledge. Yeah, no, you did.
I was way on the ledge.
Yeah, I was on the ledge. I think there's a, that me was different than this me in a lot of ways, but I was definitely on the ledge, and it was the ratings, it was the whole thing. I just felt like I had, I was going to fail. I was going to fail at something.
We were all nervous. I mean, let's face it. It was, a lot of people had told us we would fail.
I know.
I mean, everybody in the industry pretty much told us
we would fail, yeah.
How is an AM daytimer with no play-by-play and a bunch of talent that people weren't household names necessarily, although you were one of the higher profile guys because of your column, but a lot of people just felt that there was no way it was going to work. Plus, who would want to listen to sports in the morning, sports talk in the morning or in the midday? And I think you guys proved that wrong.
Yeah, I think they did, and they, we had it was a bunch of great hires. It wasn't just certainly not just me. I mean, there was a lot of people there that I wasn't sure would work. I didn't know them very well, but they sure as hell did. So I congratulate you, and I think everybody here who loves this station and where this station is now, this is a guy you can thank for it. I mean, this is a guy that put this thing together originally, and
it was a big collaboration. Ron Gleason, Harvey Wells, Dan McNeil, who started way before we hit the air. We were sitting around. Tom Scher was early, too. We were sitting around waiting to go on the air, and we kept bouncing ideas and talking about things. And eventually, I think we just sort of had a common vision, and it worked. It was great. It was fun. I miss it. I mean, I still feel connected to it because I listened to it, but I know what it was like in the halls and in the office.
Oh, God. Yeah, I do, too. Anyway, Seth, I mean, it's really great to see you. You gave me the chance I needed, and I don't forget.
I appreciate that.
Thank
Best
you very much.
Best of everything, Terry. It was great to work with you.
Seth Mason, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. At 3:54, we welcome the Now Guy. I just talked to this guy this morning. For the love of God, I just did his show. And nobody really calls me to do any radio shows at this point in my career. But anyway, Big John Howell has joined us. Or as we like to call him, Captain John Crackpick has joined us. Hello, John.
Hello, Terry, and congratulations to you on a great career. Listen, I'm here very quickly to apologize for three incidences. Number one, of course, at the roast a number of years ago, I made a terrible, terrible comment about your shirt and having to do with the predatory nature of those shirts. I deeply apologize for that. Number two, at the CBS corporate meetings many years ago, I inadvertently kicked over one of your beer bottles, which rolled all the way down to the front of the auditorium and disturbed all the managers. They blamed it on you. It was me. I apologize.
I know. I know it was you.
And number three, I deeply apologize all these years later on behalf of my partner, Ray, too, for grabbing you in your heathen region and hurting you, but I felt you were overlooking the end of my anecdote.
Good God. I mean, these two guys would just grab your gonads, just like I say, hey, John, how are you? And then, boom, you know, it's like, holy crap. No matter where you were, it didn't matter. Wherever
no,
you saw John.
It's something really I feel it's necessary to gather, you know, to gather people's attention right away and hold their attention. And I felt you learned your lesson, but I do want to, on your final show, apologize officially for that, although I think the statute of limitations on assault has since disappeared.
Yeah, I don't think I can charge you with it. Anyway, my friend, it was fun to do the show this morning because nobody ever calls me to do a radio show, so I was very pleased by that, and good to hear from Ramblin' Red Rectum as well. So, I mean, you two guys, quite a pair, and love you both, all right, my friend?
Well, look, in all seriousness, though, I always thought you were a terrific writer ahead of time. I mentioned this, deadline artist. I mean, I used to read you and laugh, and I've listened to you for 25 years and laughed, and along with Dan, I think you guys are just the gold standard. And I just, you know, one final question is, how in the hell can you talk about sports for 25 years? Don't you care about America?
All right. Yes, I do. Although, yeah, sometimes you lose it a little bit at times. Yeah. If you get too buried like you are, I mean, you've got to do it every damn day. You got to talk about America. I really kind of turtled on most of it.
I hear you.
I'm turtling on this one. I don't understand a lot of things, so I just kind of stay out of it.
Well,
leave me to the dumbass sports.
On behalf of Ray and all the guys that used to work with you at CBS and the guys at my shop now, too, I mean, you are much to be admired. You're a terrific guy, and we wish you nothing but the best. I can't wait for the book.
All right, John, thank you very much. That's John
Howell,
formerly of US 99, my guy, along with Ramblin' Red Rectum, now at WLS.
He certainly was part of the CBS family. You know, my favorite story about John, a few months ago, I went out with John, had lunch. We were out at in Lake Forest at the Lantern. I think it's a Lantern. We've done shows out there before. Is that
yeah, we've done shows there, yeah.
God, I have a worse memory than you do. And you've forgotten yesterday already.
I forgot today already.
Right? You forgot who you had on so far. We were talking, and hey, whatever. It doesn't matter. Seriously, what are you going to do, fire him? Would you? Could you fire me if I did that? I'll take unemployment for a bit. I'll go down to Tampa with you.
Maybe.
Go hang out for a little bit.
We're going pretty soon.
We have a baseball trip planned for the summer.
We do?
We're going to... Well, I'm not going to say the cities because some of you will follow us. On the West Coast. Just go on the West Coast.
Yeah, sure.
So John was... John and Ray went out after a show one day because, you know, they were off the air at either like 9 or 10, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were, you know, done playing 27, you know, country songs an hour and talking for 35 seconds and, you know, making millions. They went out after the show, and then they ended up going to a restaurant for – it was a farewell for like a sales guy that was leaving the CBS radio. And John and Ray showed up, and they'd had a few beverages. So they were feeling good. And John had a confrontation with an individual who one time was a program director at the Score. And he was a real short guy. He would eat his food really fast, like with plastic silverware.
Uh-huh.
And it would like spark and stuff. Yeah, he was a real obnoxious guy.
I know that
guy.
One well, yeah.
And he was talking to John, and John said, hey, stop talking to me. I don't want to talk to you. And the guy kept talking, and John said, please stop talking to me. And the guy kept talking, and John said, if you keep talking, I'm going to punch you in the face. So this little short obnoxious guy kept talking, And then John actually punched him in the face, knocked him down. And then John told me that he, after the weekend was over, Monday he got into the station and he was told, you need to go see Rod. Rod wants to talk to you. And so he got reprimanded by Rod for what he had done on Friday. And a few years later, he ends up at WLS, you know, working at the station. And there was a few leftover employees who had also worked with that short, obnoxious guy there at LS. And when he walked into the building, they were standing in a row and they applauded him. They stood up and they applauded him.
I believe it.
And it actually made me love John even more than I do now, which is a lot.
Yeah, he's fun, and he also played for us. He brought his band with us, so I mean he did.
That's right.
Here on A Toast to Terry on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.